Along with Danny, I too want to welcome everyone here on another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. And as Danny said, that we have a lot of out sick. It's just unbelievable, the ones that are out sick today. And we just hope that they'll all be back soon, as soon as they can. And the ones that are here, we're thankful for that. We do have some visitors, and we thank you so much for coming by. And we hope you'll come by and visit us more often, because you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. Brethren, there are some sermons that need to be preached over and over during a period of time, and this is one of them. I have preached it here probably every year since I've been here, and I'll probably preach it every year as long as I'm still standing in this podium. And I hope that none of us ever get to the point that we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set this system up, not man. Turn the Bibles to Acts chapter 9, if you would. This is a good place to start this sermon, Acts chapter 9. Identification with the local church was a practice in the New Testament days, and one example is seen in Acts 9, verse 26. The Bible says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples." Brethren, as Christians, we are to identify ourselves to a local church to work and worship. And do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being a part of a congregation that is working? Part of a congregation that is at peace, a congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord. And I believe we have that here at Prairie Village. And I ask you, do we really appreciate this? In order to realize this blessing, we need a sense of obligation to Prairie Village, the body of Christ here. If you have not placed membership or been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this evening who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, or if there's anyone here this evening that has left the Prairie Village congregation and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this evening talking about the local church and what I owe to it, or what you and I owe to it. You might go ahead, if you would, and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. As always, I ask you not to take my word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. While you're going to Acts chapter 8, in the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It is first spoken of in a universal sense, referring to all of the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16, 18, it was of the church in the universal sense that he was preaching. When Paul speaks of us being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2:47, the Bible tells us, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And when an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission of their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church in the universal sense, to the body of the saved. Look with me at Acts 8, and we'll read verses 35 through 39, if you would. Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. When the eunuch came up out of the water, he was saved and added to the one body of the saved to the church in the universal sense. Now, he did not have to get voted on like they do in the Baptist church. He was automatically saved and added to the church by the God himself. Now, this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, has no authority to appoint worldwide officers, has no authority to collect the treasury or to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity that denotes spiritual connection. The Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He can add to or take from their names from that list, which would be the same as the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd like you to consider with me, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Turn over with me. Second Timothy 2 and verse 19, Paul wrote these words. He said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." He knows His. Now turn to Revelation 3 and verse 5, if you would. Revelation 3, chapter 3 and verse 5. This tells us that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So the Lord knows those that are his. There are individual activities that we do because of our relationship to Christ in the universal body. I am a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. As a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, perform as a husband and father, and do all the other activities, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Look with me at Galatians 2 and verse 20, one of my favorite passages. I love this. In Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul wrote these beautiful words in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, all of this related to the universal church and the Christian's place in it is true. But there is another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament. That is the local sense, as in a local or a local congregation. We read of the church of God, which is at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from the churches in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8. We read of the churches of Galatia in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. All of this indicates a locality, speaking of a church in a local sense as a local congregation. I may leave one local congregation as I move to another city or place and join another, while never ceasing to be a Christian nor ceasing to belong to the church in the universal sense. We read of Paul in Acts 9 and verse 26, which we read earlier, seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. So what was Paul doing? He was seeking to identify with the local church there. It is clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and to worship and work within that group. God expects this. Now, there are responsibilities that I have as a member of the local church that are additional to the ones that I have as a member of the universal church. So the question for you is this: what then do I owe to the local church of which I am a member? What do I owe the congregation here at Prairie Village Church of Christ? Well, the first thing that I'd like to mention is this. As a member of Prairie Village, I owe this congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. This may shock you, but you know what, brethren? In a local congregation, or any local congregation, there are people who are not perfect. Do you realize that? As a matter of fact, everybody in every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of that truth. I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a local church having problems, I think of the Corinthian church. Now, there was a church with problems. I mean some serious problems. And I'm going to give you the problems that the church had at Corinth chapter by chapter and hope you'll read about them later on your own. But in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. In chapter 5, we read of incest being tolerated in the church. In chapter 6, it is the sad story of brethren going to the court or law against one another. And in chapter 7, there's a marriage problems. In chapters 8 and 10, some were having making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. In chapter 9, some were denying Paul's apostleship. In chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14 again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies. And in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrections. My friends, this was a congregation with some serious, serious problems. What did Paul do? Did Paul give up? No, Paul didn't give up on it and go running away because of its internal struggles. He chose to seek to work out their serious problems, help them to correct their sins. He addressed them as the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Indeed, the Bible does teach the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians in a local congregation. Just as we the reason we have gospel meetings, the reason we go to gospel meetings, we want to have fellowship with other Christians and other local congregations. As a matter of fact, we're having our meeting this Wednesday and Thursday. There's no such thing in the New Testament as floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances, God recognizes as faithful one who refuses to settle down with a local group. I think he looks at you as not faithful if you don't settle down with a local congregation. Neither is there anything such as membership back home. Now, I used to hear that when I was a kid, when a lot of the families came up out of the country. They'd keep their membership back home, as they called it. It is simply not scriptural to attend one congregation for years while claiming membership somewhere else. We need local church memberships because we need association with the saints, as we read about in Acts 2:42. And we need oversight of the elders, as we read about in Acts 20 and verse 28. We need scriptural discipline, as we read about in Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2. And we need collective worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church in Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. And brethren, we receive many blessings from our membership in a local congregation. However, these benefits come only as we discharge our obligation as members. We have something to do along these lines also. As a member, we must make sure that the truth is taught. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. We as members, we are told to obey the elders. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. As members, we ought to live righteous as examples to others in Matthew 5 verses 14 through 16. And as members, we need to admonish our brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. And as members, we should give of our means as a command, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. As members, we are asked to participate in the program work here, the teaching program and so on, in Ephesians 2, 10. And we are required to attend all the assemblies possible, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. That's some of the things we owe our local congregation. But secondly, I owe the local body of Christ here at Prairie Village the exhortation that we all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10 now, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to read together verses 23 and 24. Now, Hebrews 10, verses 23 and 24, the Hebrew writer said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Oh, brethren, listen. There are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can become so discouraged, and each of us can weaken a little bit and get tired. But you know what? The Lord knew that. He knew that, and He made provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It is so interesting to me that even the animals in nature understand that there's strength and protection in numbers. Did you know that when quail nest, they do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another? But I don't mind telling you that many are the times when I need the help of those of like precious faith. It is a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive, and a tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come, when we fail to be with other Christians, exhorting and being exhorted. And as you know, the world is constant in its exhortation through television, the radio, the worldliness of fellow employees, just the sinful environments to which we expose daily. The world is like a river running over the stone of faith. It can just slowly wear it away. And we need to have it constantly renewed. My brethren at Prairie Village need it, and so do I. The third point I want to make is I owe to Prairie Village faithful attendance to its work. Now, this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. We did not continue in our reading in Hebrews 10 just a moment ago, but we could certainly have gone on and read verses 25 through 27. And I'd like to do that now. Hebrews 10, verse 25 through 27. Hebrew writer says in verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Did you notice something here? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend an assembling of ourselves together is called sinning willfully? Did you know that? Have you ever thought about it? That's pretty serious business. It's called sinning willfully. When you don't come to church when you can and when you could, it is sinning willfully in the eyes of the Lord. Think about that. Show me a one-hour-only weak Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a whole lot stronger than he or she is. And from the ranks of those who attend but one hour a week or a month or less, don't come elders or preachers or teachers, I can assure you that. They cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. And Paul told us about this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Let's read what he says. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Familiar passage. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Such individuals are steadfast only in their lack of effort." All these folks expect the building to be open, they expect it to be cool, they expect it to be heated, they expect it to be clean, and they expect it to be paid for. They expect all the services to be manned by those who see that the job is completed. But they themselves cannot be counted on to faithfully help in those areas. In every congregation, there are a few so distant from the work and the members that the doors could be shut for months before they even knew it. Brethren, these passages that we just looked at clearly indicate the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why is it so neglected? Somebody tell me. Why is it so neglected? In every congregation, there are some members who view such gatherings as entirely optional. That's sad to me. God certainly does view worshiping Him as optional. There are some that will go if they have nothing else to do. They'll come to church. They'll be absent because of ball practice, extracurricular school functions, family reunions, or family holiday gatherings, or I just don't feel good. You name it. Some who are careful to attend a Sunday morning service will skip other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more of His Word. Why is that? Why won't they come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Such behavior is rebellious against the Lord of glory. It places the convenience of the worship above the true object of worship. In essence, it says, "I know what the Lord said, but I think," and you can fill in the blank. "I know what the Lord says, but here's what I think." And what you think don't mount to a hill of beans. Don't mount to a hill of beans. How does it compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read about in Acts 2 and verse 42? Let's read what they did. Acts 2 and verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer." They continued steadfast. They didn't quit. They continued all the time. However, this is not to say that we should not be interested in work at other places. Nor is it saying always we should always, it is always wrong to be in attendance somewhere besides our local church. It's all right, even necessary at times, to be away and visit occasionally with other churches. But Christians should not do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of the biblical emphasis on the essentiality of the local church membership. This is especially true in congregations like Prairie Village, where we're so small. We don't have the joy or the privilege of half of the people being gone because we're so small. But I remind you that it was not easy, though, for our Lord to leave His heavenly existence. He took the form of a servant. He suffered the toils of a peasant existence and to endure the indignities of His trials and then the agony of the cross. That's what He did for you and me. And anyone that's home now just because they don't feel real good or because they got a ball game or whatever, need to think about this. Because it will be brought up on the judgment day. I want you to think about the indignities that our Lord went through. Would you do this for Him? Would you do this for sinful mankind that like he did, would you do give your life the horrible way that he did? The most horrible death that ever was crucifixion on the cross. Would you do that? Maybe you ought to think about that before you answer. Just consider, what if Jesus had gone to a family reunion that day? Or what if that would have made him miss a great sporting event? Or what if he was just too tired, just don't feel good, too tired to come to church, and by the way, that was his only day off? Come on now. I owe the Prairie Village my financial support. Item number 4. God doesn't need our money. You know why? He owns the world. However, it is obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of the Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and good works that we can do for individuals, we are commanded. You notice I use that word commanded, not suggestion. It is not a suggestion. It is a command to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, as well as 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 talks about giving. When we give, brethren, we are giving to the Lord. Surely Acts 5 and the account of Ananias and Sapphira makes that clear. And you may ask, well, does the church need the money? Does the church need the money? Of course the church needs the money. Prayer Village will always need the money. We'll always have a need because the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism, teaching those who are already saved, and benevolence for the saints in need. Sure, we'll always need the money. There will never be a surplus of money above that need, not here where the saints are interested in doing the work that the Lord gave us to do and not in hoarding up money. And as a member of Prairie Village, you and I have a responsibility. Yes, brethren, you and I have a responsibility, but also a privilege to share in support of this great work. There's one more thing I'd like to mention that you and I owe this Prairie Village as a member. You and I owe this congregation a proper attitude toward each other and toward every member of it. I need to love my brethren, and not only in word only, but in deed. We hear, and we know of congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings within them, but we all owe to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded us in Ephesians 4 and verse 3 when he wrote these words, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. There is a joy of brotherhood and a blessing of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation, one that is free of factions and strife, as we are. And this congregation will continue to function free of factions and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortations in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Let's read them together. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Paul said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm only one and you're only one, but this one is important. We will each stand before God in the judgment day, and we will each give an account of what we have done. And I know we all desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will hear it when we have used our ability to the glory of God. Now, many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, nor are they against Him. They simply become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They are called lukewarm by the Lord, and it is said that God will spew them out of His mouth in Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. Please listen and hear me now. Life is regularly drained from the local church. Why? Because of membership indifference. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Please think on this. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. This will be the last verse we'll go to. 2 Peter chapter 1. Too many of us, brethren, just simply will not listen to the admonition of the Lord. When Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by warning in verse 10, 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why? For if you do these things, you shall never fall." If you do these things, you shall never fall. Then you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when you stand before the judgment day. Brethren, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational local setting for His people so that we may grow together, encourage and be encouraged together, worship in peace and harmony together, and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. That's what we do in this local congregation. And if you're not a Christian, we plead with you to come forward and repent of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And then you will be added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself. Then you can declare your desire to be a working member here at Prairie Village if you so desire. If there's anyone here who has left your first love and have sinned in a way that others are aware of, and you have repented to God, you too need to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you, and then you will be restored as a member of good standing. If there's anyone here this evening who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church, we beg you to do that right now. You can take care of that this evening. Or if you're not a Christian, you can become one this evening. All you have to do is come forward and, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized, immersed in water. The water's warm. The water's warm. We have clothes, clean clothes to put on. We can help anybody make their life right with God. Do so now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Danny.